Sissy's got a testimony. Hang on, there you go. Go ahead, Sissy.
Yeah, I need to testify. A week ago or so, I was in the hospital. I went to see my mom in Pennsylvania, and I wound up in the hospital just down the hall from her. I don't know if we mentioned this to anybody, but I may have to a couple of people. I had a blood pressure of 227 over 107, something like that, and I was really sick and really, really scared. And I remembered when I was in the emergency room, the nurse left, my husband stepped out for a little bit, and the Lord deals with me. He always gives me a song, and he brought to my remembrance Psalm 121, and I can hear the words in my heart, they're just coming up, and in a form of a song, which I know, and that was a blessing to me, and it was an assurance to me, because he that keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps, and he was in that room with me, and I asked the Lord, I don't know what's going on, what's this about? I traveled 9 hours to come see my mom, who's quite ill, and here I am now in the same hospital she's in, and I this moment I don't understand what that was about. I'm still battling the blood pressure, but it's come down. Doctor changed the medications. It's funny because at the end of 2007, I told the Lord, I says, Lord, whatever comes, I'm going to trust you no matter what happens. January 1st, my mom was in the hospital, and a few days later, I was there too. So you need to be careful what you pray for. But I do trust him, and I believe him, and he's bringing me through. He's bringing me through, and I trust him. I really believe that whatever he's bringing me through, he's going to take care of it. I mean, he always has. I'm just believing him because this is a tough time for me. My mom is 9 hours away. I had to come back home. She's going to go through some surgery probably in the next week or so, and I won't be there. Physically, I don't think I can swing that trip again for a while until things stabilize with me. So I really cover your prayers. And Dan, thanks for that song that you sent me. He is my hiding place. If you allow me to sing it, I'd like to sing it. That's okay? Can you all hear me? Okay. I'll make it short. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Lord, I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thanks a lot for doing that. That was a blessing. That's a blessing. Very beautiful. You have a nice voice, too. I could never sing that without a guitar or something. Beautiful song. Amen. Well, thanks. I'm glad you shared, and we'll be praying for you. Anybody else have anything? Not many of you here, but anybody have anything they want to share? Hallelujah. Okay, Kim, hang on a second. Go ahead, Kim.
Something really good happened for me this week. I've been at a job now for about, eight or 9 months, and it's been a roller coaster ride since the beginning. It was nothing what I expected it to be, and I developed a hatred in my heart for my job and everything that had anything to do with my job. And I finally, because I'm a very capable person when it comes to my work, and I finally, after 8 months, went out to my car and broke down and wept and cried and told Jesus that I couldn't do it. I've been trying, you know, I've been trying really hard to, you know, be perfect at this job and do everything better than everybody else. And I finally, after 8 months in the circumstance that the Lord's put me in, I finally broke. And then when I got home, I called two of my friends and asked for prayer because I just realized I couldn't, that I can't do this job without the Lord. And so many bad things would happen every single day that would just really discourage me at work. And my friends told me that that the Lord's trying to make me an overcomer. And the Holy Spirit revealed to my friend Irma that that my attitude had a lot to do with my job, just because I hated my job and I had a bad attitude about everything. That's what made everything so grievous there. And she prayed for me, and Mom prayed for me, and then after I got off the phone with them, I spent about 2 hours just crying and being honest with the Lord and telling him in my heart that I did hate my job, that I, you know, and told him all the other things I hated about, that basically just poured my heart out to him and honestly told him that I did hate everything about my job, the people there, the circumstances, my job itself, and I just asked him to forgive me. You know, I repented of all that hatred and I asked him to forgive me and to help me. And the next day I had the most beautiful day at work that I've had since I started there. I was singing and praising the Lord in the kitchen and cooking, and everything went smoothly. And whenever something happened, I just started asking the Lord to help me, and I was able to accept the circumstances without getting upset and without lashing out at anyone or just getting upset inside. And it was just a beautiful experience. So it's just my attitude, my bad attitude about all of that and not being content in the circumstances that God has put me in really made it miserable for me. But as soon as I was able to accept that this is where the Lord wants me and have a good attitude about it, with the change in my heart attitude, it was a complete turnaround that day. And so I just wanted to testify what the Lord can do and what he did for me this week.
Amen. Thanks for sharing, Kim. I'm glad you finally got a breakthrough there. Hallelujah. I was thinking of playing a song or two here. It was not on my site. I didn't put them on there because they're not real clear, but I was going to maybe play them for you. Is anybody interested in hearing them? They're about letting go of your own strength and letting God come forth in his strength. Anybody interested in hearing them? Take a break a second, listen to a couple songs. I don't know if you're able to hear it real clearly. We'll try it here. Give me a second here to set it up here.
But sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own. Yet in my weakness he is there to let me hold. His strength is perfect. Thank you.
Okay, did you all hear the words? Could you all hear the words? Oh, good. I didn't put them on the web because I didn't think they're not real clear. See, some of these songs I got to redo and sort of take some of the stuff out of them because they're not professionally recorded, of course. You know, it's just somebody happens to have a mic, have a tape recorder or something there, and somebody's doing something and they record it. But I'm going to try and clean a couple of them up and put some more on this week. Anybody else have anything? And now has, okay, go ahead. You want to talk or you just want to write in or what? About Ephesians 3:2. Okay. Ephesians 3:2. Let's get this here so we're talking about it. Okay. I'll put it up here. Give me a second. Is that the right one? Am I doing right? Ephesians 3:2. Ephesians 3:2 through 6, right? 3. Okay. Now, am I supposed to try and figure out the question? I'm not Daniel. I can't tell your dream any answer to it. Can you give me an idea? Hang on. Go ahead. She's going to give it to me. Go ahead.
My thought is on that scripture that you're reading on the dispensation of grace. It seems a lot that, not necessarily yourself, but others on the internet it seems to be there's a lot of teaching about separating us out from Israel, that we're different from Israel, from, the country over there, where in truth, from what this is saying, that we're bound together. Because you don't hear a lot about them. It's always, this is who we are. This is who we are, which is a truth in itself, but not to leave them out as well. That's all I have to say.
Right. I see. Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah, you're right. That we're disconnected because of dispensationalism, we're disconnected from the Jews. Now, the dispensation of grace was a revelation that God gave to Paul, and it was that the Gentiles, what it says there, the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise of Christ. It's that we, the gospel of grace, the message of the calling, the election, the fatness of the tree, the olive tree, the fatness and the goodness of the tree, all the things that were given to Jews and were meant for the Jews, were given to the Jews first, they had an opportunity to come into it, are now offered to Gentiles, and they're offered to us through Christ. As we accept their Messiah, we're grafted into their commonwealth. We're grafted into their destiny, their heritage, their destiny. We don't become literal Jews. We don't keep kosher laws and stop eating pork. You'll never get me to stop eating pork. I love ham sandwiches. I would never make a good Jew. I have no desire to be a Jew. But what the gospel of grace is it's the same gospel. It's a furtherance. It's a completion. You've heard this saying that the Old Testament is the New Testament revealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament. New Testament concealed. The New Testament, whatever. Pig on the pig here. Yeah. So it's a continuation. It's God's dealing. God has been calling out a royal priesthood, a special people for his own name since the days of Abraham. And we moved from the age of law to grace. There was something new there with Jesus' death and all that whole, the way you're saved and all that, and what's available to us now, which wasn't available to us under the law, which is a new nature. But also the whole thing of coming to grace is also a dispensation. It's a continuation of God forming his one eternal chosen people. And that call to the priesthood was locked into the Jewish race under the Old Testament. Once Jesus died and was rose from the dead, the call of the priesthood was unlocked, and it was given to the whole world. Every tribe, the individuals who would accept it from every tribe, tongue, nation. Okay, and what we have been brought into is not some kind of separate gospel, some kind of separate destiny, some kind of separate thing that has nothing to do with the Jews. We have been brought into the promises that were promised to the Jews. We were brought into the calling that was the calling of the Jews. We have been brought into the heritage, which is the heritage of the Jews. It's not something different. God didn't turn to the... See, there's an olive tree. There's a cultivated olive tree, which is Israel, even though it turned into a wild olive branch. It was still cultivated by God. It was a cultivated tree. It was taken care of. And there's the wild olive trees. What were the wild trees out there? And that's the nations. And when Paul says in Romans that God cut us out of our trees, our old trees that put us in the olive tree, he said he cut us out of our national heritages, our bloodlines, everything natural. He cut us out of all the stuff that we were as a nation, this nation, that nation, France, Germany, whatever, and grafted us into the commonwealth of Israel. What applied to the Jews now applies to us in every whit, every point, including the land. What was promised to Abraham is now promised to us. If God promised the kingdom to Abraham, that's our promise now. Did God promise the land to Abraham? That's our promise now. Everything that was given to Abraham was given to the seed, which is Christ. And everybody that's in Christ gets everything that's promised to Abraham, including the land. The natural inheritance and the spiritual inheritance are going to be joined together in the millennium. There's going to be a convergence. Right now, the Jews are cut off from their spiritual inheritance. They have a portion of their natural inheritance, but it's not very good. They're going to lose it. They're always on the verge of losing it. They're not saved, not in Christ. They're cut off from the spiritual part of their inheritance. We, being Gentiles, have our spiritual inheritance that was given to them, but we're cut off from the natural inheritance. We can't grow there and become an Israeli citizen or become a Jew or anything like that. But in the millennium, when Jesus comes, there's going to be a convergence of the natural and the material and spiritual realms. And everything, there's going to be a remnant of Jews that are saved. There's going to be a great war over there. Many Jews are going to die. But some Jews are going to be brought back into their tree, back into Christ, back into the new man. And there's going to be a convergence. And that convergence is going to be a spiritual, natural entity over in Israel. Okay, the kingdom of God has come to earth. Jerusalem's going to be a center of it. It's not going to be a Jewish thing. It's going to be a new man thing. But it's going to be in Jerusalem. And it's going to be made up of Jews and Gentiles. You know? And everything that was promised to the Jews is promised to us, not because we replaced them, but because we're grafted into them. It became ours because we became part of them. And anybody that's not part of them won't be part of what we're part of. You know, if you say you're a Christian, you don't have to do with the Jews. You don't have anything to do with their heritage or their inheritance. You're not going to have anything to do with what you think you're going to get in heaven either. You know, because it's all designed for one people. One people. And it started the call, and everything was confined in the Jewish race until Messiah came. After that, it was let loose. It was sent out to all nations. And in the end, it's going to go back into the Jewish race, the remnant that are purged and purified and brought into Christ. And at the end, there's going to be one thing happening. The center of the kingdom is going to be in Israel. There's going to be a Zion company. I don't know if you ever said it before, but Zion is a place. It's in Jerusalem. It's going to be the center of the kingdom. And Zion's also a people. Zion's going to rule the world. Not a Jewish thing, but a new man thing. And there's going to be a capital in Zion, literally, where people are going to go to worship. There's going to be some kind of building there. And there's going to, and everywhere God's people are, everywhere the first people come forth the first resurrection are, everywhere they are, whatever country they are, that's where Zion is. Zion's a people, Zion's a place. And Zion is going to be the center of the kingdom, and it's going to rule the world. Jewish thing, it's going to be a new man thing. But right now, the Jews are separated from their spiritual inheritance, and we're separated from our natural inheritance, because we're separated from Israel, the Commonwealth. But when Jesus comes, it's all going to converge. Heaven's come to earth. The natural and spiritual realm is going to converge. There's going to be a whole lot of things going on. And one of them is the convergence of Israel and church, the remnant of Jewish people and the church. And it's going to be one thing happening in the kingdom. And dispensationalism separates all that, says the Gentiles will always be Gentiles, the Jews will always be Jews, the Gentiles will be in heaven, the Jews will be on earth. And the millennium is going to be a Jewish thing. Okay? So that's all kind of from dispensationalism. But the dispensation of grace, which you were talking about, which was given to Paul, was to show the Gentiles, to show us how we are part of all that God's been doing since the days of Abraham. We're part of Abraham. We're part of the 12 tribes. We're part of the nation of Israel. We're part of their history. We're part of their destiny. We don't become Jews. We don't keep kosher. We're not biological, you know, Jews or anything like that. And again, it's going to be one thing spiritually and naturally as a new human race comes into being, and heaven has literally come to earth. That's a wonderful thing that's coming, if we can make it. It really is. It's awesome when you think about what's coming. You know, I mean, people that talk about going to heaven, they have no idea what's in heaven. Slippers, mansions. I mean, they just want to go to heaven and eat, not get fat. They want to be free from all their bills. They just want to go and lay around and do nothing. They just want to be free from all the pressures of life. That's what heaven is, you know. And lay around in the fields of green or whatever. That's not, you know, there's so much more wonderful what's actually in the Bible, what's actually going to happen, what's coming. It's so much more wonderful and awesome, you know. So, does that answer your question? Dispensationalism as a doctrine is totally false from beginning to end. The dispensation of grace that Talk was talking about is this thing that I was just explaining. Perm says, "Did you see?" No, I don't watch Larry King. Did you see Larry King last night about the UFOs? What do you think about things like that? I really don't know. I don't watch Larry King, but yeah, probably demons. That's what I would say. I mean, you know, there's no life on other planets. God's work with mankind. That's what the Bible says. I don't know that God will never create anything else out there. He's a creative God. Once this is all over, we're going to the new world, the new age, and the final age. I don't know what God's going to do, but according to Scripture, which is His Word, there's nothing out there on this planet. Thanks. If anybody sees anybody, it's demons. You see, or it might be some kind of government thing going on. I don't know. I'm sure government may be at the point where they have vessels that can float, anti-gravity vessels, you know. I don't doubt that we're at that kind of a technology right now. But if they're starting to see people and being abducted and all that, that's all demons. That's all demonic. Now, if they see something in the sky, it could be demonic or it could be some secret thing that the government's doing. I don't know. But certainly it's not UFOs. But since they don't believe in God and they don't want to believe the Bible and they want to believe everything is ungodly and against God, of course everybody's going to jump on that and say, hey, yeah, these things disappear. They have to be spiritual. Okay, that's fine. No problem with that. But we all agree there's nothing... There's no Martians or anything like that, right? Nobody believes that, right? Nobody believes there's life on other planets, I mean, right? Okay. I believe there might be life on other planets someday, though. I really do. You know? You have no idea what God's going to do. Did you ever sit down and think? Past the millennium. The millennium is something we can wrap our minds around, right? You sort of get a grip around the millennium. It's the lion's going to lay down the land. There's going to be peace. A lot of things are taught about the millennium. But when you get to the new world and beyond, there's almost no information about it, okay? Did you ever sit down and think, even just contemplate, what's it going to happen? And the new world, when we go into the new age, what's going to happen out there? What do you think we're going to be doing? Anybody ever think about it? I mean, there's no answer. It's just all speculation. But, I mean, it's nice to say, hey, God's got something so wonderful out there that we can't even grip it. I mean, Rebecca says, you and NL think a lot alike. Well, is that good or bad? I'd have to know NL to know if that's good or bad. Okay. Well, I hope so. Okay, well, anybody else have anything? Well, if not, I guess we'll shut her down. Okay, well, I'm glad you all came. Didn't look like anybody's going to come here. Tonight for a while, I was thinking, wow, there's only two or three people in the room when it started out. I scared them away. Okay. Well, thanks for coming, and we'll see you all next week. God willing, the river don't rise. God bless you all.